On tonight's episode, we talk about a movie that is very difficult to watch, but not for the reasons you're probably thinking. We'll talk about that and why with To All a Good Night, tonight on the Sexy Vampire Teeth Podcast. You're listening to the Sexy Vampire Teeth Podcast. Hey guys, welcome to the Sexy Vampire Teeth. I'm Joe.
Jay here.
Hey guys, it's Matt.
To All a Good Night. This movie was directed by David Hess. Everybody, you guys know David Hess?
Nope.
Okay. He was in The Last House to the Left. You guys saw that?
Nope.
Maybe. To be honest with you, I'm not sure. Like, was that a recent one or was that an older one? Last House on the Left.
70s.
70s.
Yeah, so the director was David Hess. He is he played Krug in Last House on the Left, and this is his first film, and I think pretty much his only film. You know, I've seen him in a few things. He's always typecasted as this, like, ruthless sort of killer. You know, I tried to get him as a guest. I thought it'd be pretty cool to, like, follow up this episode, like a Q&A with him. So I called the agent, and he's like, yeah, he died, like, years ago. And I'm like, answer the fucking question. I'm still waiting on that.
Yeah, he died in 2011.
Oh, you know, real quick, speaking of, I want to talk about this just for a second, not to derail this too much, but
we don't have news per se, but I do have something to talk about fast.
You know, we did talk about getting guests and stuff like that for the podcast this year, and I ironically enough got an email from a publicist, and she was asking me if I wanted to have George Stevens Jr. on the show. She was like, I'm a big fan of the show. She's like, I have a perfect guest for you guys, George Stevens Jr. The guy's like 91 years old. He directed some Hitchcock episodes, and he's a big film guy, but like not really anything that would be like horror geared. But I'm like, yeah, I'll humor it. You know, like anyone that wants to be on the show. I'm thinking like, she's probably not a fan of the show. I think she just said that because I don't know like where he would fit into this podcast. He's like an older guy. But yeah. We were going back and forth, me and her, for a little bit. And we were setting up like a Zoom call, talk about the, you know, potential episode and having him on and all that kind of stuff. You know, I was excited because like he's like a big deal in Hollywood. He had a book that just came out, so I guess that's kind of why she was like, you know,
trying to advertise for that.
Yeah. You know, I would have loved to just ask him questions about like what it was like to see like Frankenstein versus the Wolfman in a theater. You know what I mean? Because the guy was born like in the 30s. We were going back and forth. Then I stopped hearing from her, and I'm like, oh. She finally listened to the podcast. She didn't know what it was. And then she was like, let me listen to this. She's like, oh, no, fuck that. She heard us talk about fucking Mr. Ball Bucket or whatever for like 20 minutes. And she was like, yeah, no. A good fit.
He's going to be lost. He's going to have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah. So, like I said, first movie, I think it's important to note that this is technically the first horror movie of 1980. Came out on January 30th, 1980. Not only the first slasher, the actual first horror movie of that decade that perfected it, some might say. You know, one of the best decades of horror. A lot of people in this movie never really appeared in anything else besides the main actress, who was Jennifer Runyon. And if Justin was here, I would have had him jump in right away because she was the girl in Ghostbusters. You remember in the beginning?
Which one?
In the opening credits of Ghostbusters. Not the opening. The opening scene of Ghostbusters when Peter's doing like the psychic test on like the nerdy guy and the blonde girl.
Oh, that's her?
That's her. Yeah. She plays Nancy in this movie. And, you know, the other people in this movie, they really hadn't done anything else except for that porno star guy that's in this, the pilot. He's like he's a famous porn star.
Yeah.
And you would think that they kind of thought they were making a porn. And I'll get into that.
Okay. So, To All a Good Night was released on January 30th, 1980. This movie was directed by David Hess, the star of Last House on the Left. This was his first feature film. The movie stars Jennifer Runyon as Nancy, and Forrest Swanson as Alex. Two very forgettable characters. The movie takes place at the Calvin Finishing School for Girls in California. Before Christmas break, one of the students is accidentally killed by another during a prank when she's pushed over a balcony. Not a great prank. 2 years later, on the eve of another Christmas break, while the school empties out, five students stay behind and plan a long weekend getaway to meet up with their boyfriends. A la slasher, the night is going well until someone decides to take vengeance on the event from 2 years ago in a Santa Claus costume. And one by one, the girls and their boyfriends are hunted down until we find out who this killer may be. This movie was released by IRC Pictures and was written by Alex Rebarb.
To start off, have you guys ever even heard this movie before?
Only in the original book about Santa Claus, but not the film. version.
Did you have any expectations of this movie?
For me, I really didn't have too many expectations, but like you said, did I hear of it? No, I've never heard of it. And not only did I not hear of it, I had a very difficult time finding it. And if you didn't provide that YouTube link, I would have had no clue because every single search I put for To All a Good Night was coming up Hallmark. I was getting Hallmark
Yeah.
Christmas movies from what a couple years ago, whatever it was. I couldn't find it. And when I watched it from that YouTube link, it was without any knowledge of the movie, without any trailer, nothing. I just went in blind.
No, honestly, it's a hard movie to find. It is every now and again on Shudder. It's on Amazon. You'll find it on streaming services from time to time, but they do like take it down. They don't leave it up there. There's an issue with the movie in terms of like its lighting. So the copy that you saw on YouTube is a VHS copy, but there is a DVD out there
Yeah, it was a hard watch
to
just for
like
like quality.
quality
Like, yeah,
wise.
like
Yeah, but that's
I
a
couldn't
common
see
complaint.
anything.
That's definitely a common complaint.
Crazy for a movie that takes place in 2022, like the quality was so bad.
What?
Because like at the start of the movie, they're like sorority, and then it's like the girl dies, and it says 2 years ago, and then it says today, and I was like, oh, okay, so. I
I
didn't
know where
doesn't
you were
say a
going with
fucking
that.
date. It's not a fucking date. It just says 2 years ago. No, I knew nothing going in, but like immediately it was just like, I was like, is this like a bad dream sequence? So it's supposed to be blurry, like 30 minutes in. I was like, are we still bad dream sequence? Like it's still dark and like it was really just hard to watch with the visual qualities. But
Yeah, it was really pixelated.
yeah, that was my
Very
only kind
difficult.
of like major gripe. Other than that, like I didn't think it was like hard to watch by any means.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, I'm not really a hater of this movie, and I think that it has a lot of, redeeming qualities as opposed to the things that like are kind of shitty about it. But when I first, looked up these movies and I kind of heard about it before, I saw it obviously. It's a newer watch for me. I've only seen the last couple of years. I had zero expectations, obviously, because I didn't hear of it. Like I've just figured, like, all right, well, if it's a slasher movie in the 80s where these things were like at its peak, I figured I would have heard of it, even like the bad ones we've heard of, but nothing, like absolutely nothing. And there's really nothing out there on it, which kind of makes this, I don't know, kind of difficult and also kind of great too, because we gotta kind of work with what we have, in terms of just the movie itself. There's not a lot of publicity stuff out there. There's not a lot of archive footage about this. You can't really find anything about it. It came and went, and there's good reasons why. There's this fucking terrible dialogue. It's a pretty low budget looking movie. The lighting is completely off, like I mentioned before. But there's a couple of things in here that I think are definitely worth talking about. Mostly the stuff that is kind of copied, I suppose, later on.
Yeah, it looked honestly, I have this like list of things that this movie seems to have originated what became like a trope. And I'm like, wow, this is in this movie. This is the first time they did this. This is the first time they did this,
Well, in terms of firsts, I guess, if we're talking about that, it's the first time you got a Santa Claus killer. It's not the first Christmas horror movie, but it's definitely the first Santa Claus killer.
That's actually interesting. And I didn't fact check to see like what the firsts were from this movie, but I also didn't really despise this movie at all. For
Right.
me, there was like the plot I think was decent. The dialogue was absolute trash and like the acting was pretty
Yeah,
bad as well.
terrible.
But the plot I think was pretty good and the kills were pretty cool, some of them.
Was this the first movie where it was just kind of like the ensemble cast of these typical, like you have the jock, this girl, the
The
last girl,
nerd.
the virgin, the nerd. I think it was the first of that.
People do say that this movie copied off of Black Christmas a lot. There's a lot of similarities, a lot. The look of the movie is pretty similar. You get a POV shots, a bunch of girls in a sorority. Like that's, on Christmas time. So it does take from that a little bit, but I think it creates more. I think more people take from this than it took from that movie, if that makes sense.
Did the sorority in Black Christmas have crossbows in it?
Crossbows?
Like, also, he's just like, I'll
He
save
whipped
you.
out a
And
crossbow.
whips out a fucking crossbow. I don't know. Does he travel with it? Or
I mean, there was a suit of armor. I thought that was
there
more interesting
was.
to me than a crossbow. Crossbows I get for hunting, but like, why was there a suit of armor that's wearable in the fucking
Yeah.
in the sorority house or whatever it is. I'll be honest with you, I didn't know what a finishing school was. I had no fucking clue. I had to look it up.
I still don't know what it
I
is.
I still don't know. Yeah, I'm not really sure. I read it, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I don't know what the fuck that means. I guess it's just where ladies become ladies. You know, the film had a limited release, and when it came out for VHS, like 2 years later, this was the quality. This was what was uploaded to YouTube. It was the VHS tape. So that's what people were buying and seeing or renting and seeing. Now, in 2014, they released, in October 21st, 2014, they released a DVD and a Blu-ray of the movie. They had, you know, some special features on it too, like interviews with the cast and, you know, crew. This is extremely hard to find. It's been discontinued for a while now. I tried to buy this copy to watch it because I kind of wanted to see the extra features just to give me a little more insight into the movie. Because like I said before, there's nothing out there. There's really not a lot to see. You know, there's some reviews, but you know, there's some current like YouTube reviews and stuff like that. But other than that, it's really difficult to find information on it. So I wanted to pick this thing up, and I literally could only find one used copy of a Blu-ray on eBay for like $200. So it's impossible to find this movie. And that's a shame. You know, if the movie pops up on a streaming services, I definitely recommend people watching because I think historically it's a pretty important movie. And I don't think that it's as bad as people say it was. So, with you know, the girls are all kind of like hanging out, talking about how they're, you know, the guys are coming in, right?
I can't relate to these people taking fucking private planes to finishing school.
That's not something that you've ever been a part of.
Never done it.
Yeah, I've just like every decision that they made was just like, well, all right, the guys are going to come over and they're going to hang out with the girls. I'm like, okay, cool. But instead of just doing that, they're like, well, how are they going to come here? Airplane. Okay. Landing strip.
We're so excited about that.
Who's the pilot?
Professional porn actor? The plane landing went on for like 3 minutes.
See, but the plane, like, I got to give it to the plane, though, because the plane brought probably my favorite kill. From the whole or movie.
Somebody was able to sneak up somebody in the middle of an airstrip.
They had plenty of time to walk away from that. Yeah, they fly the boys in and to the housemaid, Mrs. Jenkins. They you know, drug her basically with warm milk and some kind of sleeping pill to get her to go to sleep so they could have their, you know, fuck fest or whatever. That goes well, you know. The guys get there. Good time is had by all. Then all the killing starts happening. Well, there's two people that. Well, there's three people that survive, but we'll get to that. Got to talk about this a little bit, and it is a spoiler topic. Did you guys know that she was the killer? There was a very fucking obvious like clue in the beginning of the movie.
Mm.
No,
see, I don't think
she wasn't the killer.
Yeah.
This is Genzano or Genzanino, whatever. Franzini was the killer.
Whoever was the mother, the host. It was the host.
Wasn't it the woman in the beginning who's like sitting? They like walks in for like 2 seconds. He's sitting in the kitchen and is like bitching and.
No.
It wasn't. Oh, okay. I didn't even realize that then.
Yeah, it was the other one that was living and staying with them.
Yeah. Because that was the daughter that they, in the beginning of the movie, they show that, you know, there's a prank gone wrong. This girl's pushed off the balcony. She dies. That was 2 years ago. Now we're in 2024. This lady is the house mother or whatever you want to call her. That was her daughter. And what's funny is, like, you see a scene, right, where there's, like, a list of people to kill. And next to that list is the picture of that girl who falls off the balcony, right? Who's pushed off the balcony. And then you see the gloved hands, like, you know, X off the names or whatever. That picture, that same picture that we see the killer hold, is on the wall of Mrs. Jensen's room when she's like sewing or whatever. It's right there. It's like very obvious right there.
I feel like if I watched a better, like higher resolution copy, I probably would have taken note of something like that. It was just like, I literally like couldn't see anything. Like I watched the first like 30, 40 minutes and then I stopped it to like try to find another copy to try to see if I can get something better resolution. And there was another one on YouTube that had better quality. It had Spanish subtitles, right? Yeah. So that was like the second half that I watched was that one. But yeah, no, I definitely didn't notice that. And I didn't really get that idea that she was the killer. The first thing that I noticed was that there was more than one killer because of the timing of different stuff. I was like, there's no way this one person could be at the same place at the same time. So I was like, there's got to be two killers. Right. And then they kind of like pigeonhole you into thinking there's one again. But yeah, I still at that point I really didn't piece it together that she was the killer.
They kind of did a scream too, you know, like where there's like two people who are like in cahoots killing people. Which is another thing I think that was a little bit ahead of its time, right?
Even the line when they say, everybody's a suspect, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, Randy, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I gotta get a beer. I'll be right back. I mean, but Scream is supposed to be making fun of slashers. So they obviously like went to the well. I think they must have seen this movie and got something from it. Those lines are pulled directly from that film.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't realize that. I was like, oh, wow.
I mentioned before how this movie came out in January 30th of 1980. Friday the 13th came out months later and had a very similar plot in terms of, you know, kids who wound up killing a child by accident.
Right. Due negligence, right?
Right. And the mother comes back to take revenge on the kids, not even responsible, they're just part of the same group, right? Because they weren't necessarily like all there, I don't think.
That's what the Goody Two Shoes girl was saying. She was like, I wasn't there, I wasn't there.
Right, yeah. Like so at the very, end. Very similar. And also, you had a crazy guy named Ralph who was going around telling everybody that, you know, bad things are happening. Friday 13, there's a crazy guy named Ralph who tells everybody that they're doomed nonstop. There's a couple similarities.
And Ralph, like, they weren't fooling me with Ralph. They were trying to give you the red herring with Ralph because, you know, he's this big, lurching, kind of doofy guy. And he's like a weirdo. And he shows up through people's windows unannounced in the middle of the night.
Way over the top.
Yeah, I was like, there's no way this guy is the guy. But then, you know, fast forward, like, I actually, right before this, I watched the two trailers because I didn't see them before. They show you Ralph dead. In the trailer. So I'm like, how are you going to red herring him and then you show him dead in the trailer? Like,
yeah, I don't know who saw that trailer. I hope they didn't play it before the movie started.
But... Oh, God.
He's supposed to be what, the gardener?
Yeah, he's like the housekeeper.
He doesn't the notice there's like the five freshly buried bodies on, well, like right outside.
Right. And I think they were burying bodies to like continue to make us think that Ralph is doing it because he's the gardener. So it's like, oh, the gardener's probably burying these kids. That makes sense. Got the, you know, shovel and shit. When all the Ralph scenes came on and I'm watching, I'm just like thinking to myself, and I was going to ask you guys this, like, does, like, who falls for that? Like, is, does anyone actually like big, oh shit, this guy killed these kids. Like, was it a thing back then, you think? Or like, even then they were like, oh, this is obviously like a nonsense, you know, not red herring or whatever, misdirection.
I'm not sure there's a small percentage of people that do feel that way, or like, you know, that was the whole intention of the movie, was to lead you that way. 50 years ago, like, no one was really, like, the large majority of people weren't like, oh yeah, this is definitely the guy. I feel like they know, like, there's got to be some sort of more convoluted plot twist to it than just having that, you know, all the clues point to the guy, and it's like, yep, it's the guy, and that was it. That makes for a very boring movie.
I mean, you guys didn't obviously think that at all, right? Like, there was no point in time. Well, Jay saw the trailer, so obviously.
Yeah.
I up until this discussion, just because the movie was, like, such bad quality, I thought it was the Italian woman that did it.
You had cancer?
I don't know. Like, I was like, maybe that's why she's still staying there. And then I still don't know which cop it was, because I was like, they both look like the same person. They both just look like that typical 70s guy. And without his plaid jacket, I couldn't recognize him. Like, is that the chief or is that the other one? Or,
well, yeah. Just jumping back to the fuck fest, even the cop got in. He was in on it.
Yeah.
Like, everyone was getting some.
And
that, I love his boss is like, don't fuck these girls.
Yeah.
And he's like, fuck these girls. You got it.
You got it. Read you loud and clear.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, he told them specifically, don't mess around. Don't mess this up. I watched a review where somebody thought like he meant like, oh, make sure they're safe. I'm like, no, dude, he meant don't fuck them because they're wealthy girls in like a wealthy, you know, some kind of like prestigious school. But yeah, he banged them and he got his. Now, in the end of the movie, we find out that there's two killers and, you know, it's Nancy fighting Mrs. Jensen and, they do this amazing cut where she gets thrown off the balcony and you're like, what the fuck? And you rewind it every time. Like, I must have missed it. Or the copy I watched didn't have it in there because they just do not specify that she was pushed off the balcony too. It makes no fucking sense. It's like the worst cut in the entire movie. And I did think when I
watched, thought she jumped off.
Yeah. Like they show the old thing that happened to her daughter and then she's just on the ground.
Right. Right, it's flashbacks and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, it was a justified ending for her character arc, right? Yeah,
oh, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Come up and it's like, oh, now you go out the same way. Like, the first time was an accident, this time's intentional.
Same way as your whore daughter.
I'm just assuming she was a whore.
I'm assuming based on
With
her
her school,
friends.
yeah. Like everybody wants to fuck like everything in this house, for furniture included.
She's the one that started him down this path.
They're just hanging out, having a good time, fucking cartons of milk, and then all of a sudden, things go wrong. So we get Detective Polanski. He's our second bad guy, and he comes in the Santa suit too, because they got two of them. TJ, our nerdy guy, just flips all the time what kind of personality and character he is. But he crossbows the motherfucker, and they walk free, the two of them.
And I actually
I
did
like
like
that
the
ending.
yeah, I
I
like the
do too.
ending.
Yeah.
I like the kill on Polanski. I thought that was great, even though, TJ was a little bit, hesitant. He's shaking and he's doing, but it was cool. I like that. The only thing I didn't like about the ending was, Leah's insanity that literally came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But it did make for kind of like a cool and unique ending where it pans out and you see the two of them escaping, and then she's just dancing on the balcony, like, and then just went to credits, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. There's no sequel, there's no remake, there's no nothing. This movie came and left and it disappeared. I think this movie could definitely use a remake. I wouldn't mind seeing something like that. I think
Yeah,
if they put a little bit of heart and care into it, remade this, I think it'd be pretty good.
I think so. Up to production quality, get a better cast, a little bit tweaking on the script. I think it could definitely be a good remake.
We go through, just a slew of forgettable people. The kills are also kind of forgettable, but there's a couple standouts. I don't want to be the guy to fucking do this because I feel like every single fucking person that talks about slashers does like a count of the kills. But I also feel like I can't really avoid that. It's gonna, I think we have to kind of talk about the kills in a slasher movie. And there was a lot. I think, again, this movie had, a few things really going for it, and 15. People as a body count is pretty good, I think, for an hour and 20 something minute movie.
I was like 34 minutes in, and I was like, wow, there's already a decent body count, and there's still a lot of movie left. Yeah.
All right, to get to the kills, I think we got to get to the characters. So let's go through those and their fate. We start the movie off with a mysterious girl that we don't know yet who is pushed off a balcony. She is our first kill, but the movie doesn't really start until we meet our main cast of girls, and that is Nancy, the good girl, Melody, the slut, Leah, the other slut, Trisha, you get the picture, and Sam. And these girls are staying behind for their Christmas break to meet up with their boyfriends. Our first kill, the main cast, is actually a friend of the five core girls, and that is Cynthia and her boyfriend. Her boyfriend is actually first. He is stabbed with a hunting knife, and we don't see it. It's off screen. But then Cynthia is killed with that same knife to the chest. Our third is part of the core five, and that is Trish, who gets her throat slit. Fourth is Tom. Tom is one of the boyfriends. He is part of the four that come by with TJ, Alex, and Blake. Tom gets killed with a rock to the head, a big, big rock. Fifth is his buddy Blake, who gets hit with a crossbow, one of everybody's favorite kills. And sixth is Sam, his girlfriend, who gets hit with an axe by a guy in a suit of armor. We'll explain. Kill number seven is Ralph, who is the groundskeeper and our red herring throughout the movie. He is killed unknown off-screen. We find his dead corpse. To get into the next kill, we got to talk about the next group of people that come in to investigate these series of murders, and that's the cops. We have Detective Polanski. We have Detective Jim and Detective Dan. Dan's a real fucking pervert. Jim is our eighth kill, and he is killed by an axe to the chest. Dan is very soon after, who gets stabbed in the back with a knife after fucking one of the girls in the school. And 10th is TJ, who gets killed with a twisty-do around a tree. He gets his throat all tightened up. Number 11 and 12 are the pilot of the plane that comes in, along with Melody, who get killed by the propeller of an airplane. We kind of don't see that. It's a little off-screen, but it makes for a great kill. And our 13th kill is our first killer, Mrs. Jensen, who is the carekeeper and the mother of the daughter who was killed in the beginning of the movie. She is, like her daughter, thrown off a balcony. And 14, it's our second killer, Detective Polanski, who is the father of that girl, and he's killed by a crossbow. Crossbow kill. Of course, adding the girl from the beginning, that makes 15 kills in a movie, which is a pretty high count for such a short movie. And most of these effects are pretty well done, the ones you see on screen anyway. And that's it. That's our kills. Well, let's talk about some of our favorite kills in the movie.
Because like, there's two to me that stand out, very distinct kills, like that made me feel a certain type of way, which I'll get into in a second. But I'm just curious to
Okay.
know if you guys thought about that.
Yeah, no, I think that I think that the best kill in the movie, in my opinion, was the because it was just so strange and like a couple like moving parts to it was when the two people are fucking. It's yeah. So you have Sam, Samantha, and Blake, and they're like going at it in the living room, or whatever. When the suit of armor like comes to life, and they shoot the guy in the back of the head with a crossbow, right? So like the arrow comes out of his mouth, like when they're making out. So I was like, oh, all right, that's kind of unique. Because like I said, like before, it was just like little stabbings and shit. It didn't have anything kind of cool. And then he gets it that way. And then the suit of armor starts moving and it chops her head off with an axe. And that head comes back later. I think that's probably the best kill in the movie. I thought the effect looked pretty
That
good.
was the head that was in the bathroom.
Yeah, that was the head that was
Yeah.
in there.
Yeah, no, that was something. And like jumping back, we were talking about how this suit of armor, not only is it just like decoration piece, it's actually a functional suit. And not only that, like when you think about it, like after watching it, it's like that person either is the most silent like person, like a ninja getting into that suit, or they were waiting there for hours, just waiting in the suit, like it's gonna be time, it's almost time, and you can't move. Don't move until it's time to execute. Like to me, that was just ridiculous.
She must have just known that she's such a loud lover that, like, oh, once she gets into it, she's gonna be screaming bloody murder.
We heard about that slut.
You think she's getting killed when she's having sex and they walk in there and no, they're not. They're not getting killed yet. It's like they're like squeaky, squeaky, like every time he has to move his giant fucking suit of armor. And like then where did he go? Right? Like he just
How about you, Matt? What was your favorite?
Matt thought the killer was the other lady for Christ's sake, so he can't go by him.
Well, the kills I knew, yeah. But I don't want to say I liked one and then the other, but I like the thought the propellers going on just because the absolute ridiculous. I was like, oh, she knows how to operate an airplane now.
Yeah, they know everything, Matt. And like that's what you learn after this is like I agree with you. I like the airplane one as well because it's so stupid that
Yeah.
like this guy the pilot is sleeping in the airplane. They wake him up, they get him out. There's a whole conversation that ensues. No one notices someone go to the airplane, operate it. Like she knows how to operate it clearly. She's just like, "Oh yeah, I'll just fucking turn this on real quick, propellers, and I'll just flip some of
Fast
these
enough
things."
to
Like
sneak up on a pilot with a propeller in the middle of an airfield.
Yeah, that was dumb. But I think probably my favorite, just because how ludicrous it was presumably the woman. Like, I don't know, you can never really tell like until the end which one was which. The guy and the girl. When I forget who it was, maybe it was one of the cops. I forget who the person was, like right outside. They were right in the front lawn. And like you turn around and it's the Santa Claus, and it's like the slowest moving axe down. It wasn't like a quick chop, it was
With
like
one fucking
super
hand.
slow. Yeah, and then the guy was just like, and then literally he gets to the floor and he does like tongue out of the mouth. He was like, and like his tongue was moving. I'm like, oh God, this is gonna be my favorite kill, isn't it? It's so dumb. Yeah, there's a couple of dumb ones. Like I said, there's a couple of unique or cool ones, but like when you look beyond the surface, it's like they're all just ridiculous and you question everything about this movie.
I like the music and Jay, I felt like you could appreciate this from a musician's standpoint. I feel like they just kind of like pulled from Atari, right? And just like that was like their
To
sound effects for everything. Yeah.
be honest with you, I don't even remember any of the music.
I'm just like, Jesus Christ, it sounds like Arkanoid or something. Yeah. I mean, did you guys like any of the characters? Because like I feel like they were either like way over the top or they had like zero personality whatsoever.
I thought they were like fun. Like I like the one girl. I like Leah. Yeah. I thought Leah
Okay.
was yeah, I thought Leah was like had character. How she would like be silly with certain things, and then I don't understand how she just like went absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
She snapped. And I thought that
Yeah,
was
that
an
wasn't
interesting
explained.
touch because
No, it
she
wasn't explained
was
at
a
all.
little yeah, she was the most unusual of them and had the most like unique character traits. But then just finds the head, stands in front of her, and she's like, "Oh, I don't have to kill you. I've driven you mad." Like, okay, like,
Right.
how did
And
you
then
know
she's
that
just
that's how?
dancing through the halls and stuff. I'm like, I don't understand this either.
Yeah, that was a weird choice. I mean, I liked it because it was different,
Yeah.
but it didn't feel like this was the kind of movie to have that like artistic sort of ending, you know? Aside from like there just being like these really strange ways to get people from A to B. There was nothing really like unique until like these small moments, and that was definitely one of them. That ending was very strange to me.
Yeah, and I feel like it could have been established better throughout the movie. I mean, it's not a long movie. The movie's only like 90 minutes with pretty short, but like if they showed like, you know, she was not all there to begin with and she started like going crazy, losing her mind as people were getting killed. It was, to me, it just like came out of nowhere. And I was like very shocked when she wasn't killed and then she was just like frolicking and singing and dancing around for literally no reason. I
Yeah.
didn't like it.
Well, Nancy was our hero, and I don't really know like what to make of her. Like, I'm watching the movie, I'm like, is she a fucking person or a cartoon mouse? Like, I don't understand. I also don't understand why everybody had to touch her constantly. Like, do you remember when the cop came there and he's like,
Yeah,
I
he
guess
was like rubbing her arm.
no, not even like the head detective. Like, she was talking about what was going on. Like, he kneels down in front of her. He goes, let me tell you something. And like he like grabs her like face in his hand. He's holding it the entire conversation. And I'm uncomfortable. And I'm just like, when is he gonna let go of it? And he
Yeah.
doesn't until he's done speaking.
When is he gonna let go of it?
It's
It
so
was a
weird.
that was a very odd scene because yeah, he was way too touchy-feely and
Wait.
handsy with this person.
Yeah.
And it's like these people were just subjected to violent crimes and their friends are all dead and you're just gonna be like touching her and it's like, I don't know. Yeah, this
As though
movie's
he's a murderer.
yeah, well, he was the other one.
Yeah. It's like presumably all these people are friends and they were friends with the girl that died. Why would they not know who her parents are, right? Because that was the whole setup when the cops showed up. You know, they knew the mother, right? Because the mother was there. But like the father comes up and everyone's like, oh, whatever, Detective Polanski or Chief Polanski, whatever the hell his name was. It's like, wouldn't they know that that was
Right,
also,
yeah.
you know, that it's like, I don't know, like
So you're right, it's a
I
good
get it for like the shock value of
yeah.
like, you know, that's what I did like about the story. You know, the plot was like decent as far as like why
Yeah.
they did it and like exposing that's the mother and that's the father. But like the kids and the people that were involved like in the movie, they would know. They wouldn't be surprised like when this cop shows up, like they were like, oh, hey, like that's this girl's dad.
Yeah, because it was only 2 years ago. Like, if it was like, like Friday the 13th, it happens like what? Like, a long time before that. So like, people don't really remember like that kind of stuff. And you're flying kids in from camp. They don't know much about it at all. So that kind of made sense, right? Like, they didn't know who this lady was. But you're right. Like, she went to the school. It was 2 years ago. You'd think that it's the kind of school where everybody kind of knows everybody, you know? Why'd they hire her? Like, why would they hire her to be the den mother there? Like, why do you want to be here? Your daughter was thrown out the balcony like 2 years ago.
That's a common last name. Oh, my bad. So you weren't there that night. Okay.
So how about this? So how about you don't tell anybody about this ever? It's like, yeah, no, you gotta kill you
You just made Mrs. Jenkins a Puerto Rican man for some
now.
reason. 40% Nancy walking around places for no reason. And then like another 20% like people getting killed.
Yeah, there's that one scene where she's walking around with the nerd and they're like checking the locks, and they check every single lock on like a set of like nine windows. Like it's, I was like, please check them out, check it out, check that one too. And he's like, it's like slow, and then jiggle, 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 cracking up, man. Do
Yeah.
you remember when they're that same scene when they're walking around and they go up to the second floor, and then you see the Santa Claus like crouched down in the
Yeah.
window. I'm
That
like,
was
and
a
then
good
yeah,
scene,
and
though. I actually liked it.
they don't look and like over their shoulder or nothing. They just walk up, and then by the time they come back down, of course, Santa's gone.
Well, maybe they were just like, that's okay. It's just Santa. Santa, re not now.
Is Christmas Eve.
it? Because I didn't really know. Like, was it supposed to be?
I
Like,
have no idea.
right. Exactly. Yeah.
They just tell you today. So if you watch it on
Right.
Christmas, sure, it's Christmas.
You watch it in February, you're like, all right, well, this makes no fucking sense. I mean, the movie
Yeah.
came out
Watch this
after.
movie over the summer. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
I mean, the movie did come out after Christmas. It came, which is also weird. You'd think like they would have put it out a little bit sooner. The movie only took like 10 days to make. I know that's going to shock you guys.
Don't even know if you're joking or not, but either
I
way, it's
also
funny.
don't know,
No,
but it
it's
is.
for real. Yeah, it's a real thing.
Was it
Oh
really?
my Look,
God.
it was a 10-day shoot in December.
Oh my God. Well, they
Um,
have the plane for the weekend.
yeah, yeah. They stayed at the location too. The film was shot at this, like, a school in Santa Barbara, California. They fucking lived in there until they were done making the movie. So it is a very low budget film. Obviously, it has that look and feel, and it is. But I gotta say, I don't hate it. Like, there's a fine line between like what makes these movies like just terribly cheesy and classics, right? Like Friday the 13th, classic movie. Well, this has a lot of the same things going for it, but it's no one even knows it exists, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's just because you have to get these things perfectly, right? You're gonna make a movie like this. It's already like open to being very cheesy, very silly. You know, the dialogue and just the storyline and all that kind of stuff. The numerous plot holes that are going to be in a movie like this. Really good balance between humor and, you know, scares. Have the kills really well done. Likable characters who you care about being killed off. You know, and I'm only comparing to Friday the 13th because like it did take some pretty big things from this movie, and it came out just a few months later on. That's a classic. This is not, you know,
Yeah.
we like you guys never heard of it until now. I never really heard of it until a couple of years ago. And when I watched it, I found myself, it's probably like the third or fourth time I've seen it. I found myself kind of like just like waxing and waning with my attention, where I'm just like, yeah, picking up my phone or fucking not, you know, thinking about something else or like that. I don't feel that way when I watch like Friday the 13th. You know, I've watched that movie so many times, and I always still pay attention to it when I watch it. It grabs my attention. So, you know, like I think it's just like it's just the sloppiness of the movie, like the dialogue, you know, the fact that like we have like personality hopping, right? Because when the first girl dies, Trish, who's like the horny girl, right? Like that's the one that's really making like out of control sex jokes. The next person becomes her. Like that's just what it is. And you keep going until they're all just like her. They weren't like that in the beginning. So there's that. I don't know. Like, what do you think would have made this movie a classic? Like, if you had to fix a couple things in this, like polish a couple things up, what would it be?
I mean, for me to just be willing to watch it again, it'd have to be a better audio and a better
Right.
like visual, like just because that was like so painful. But if that were changed, I wouldn't even want more consistency with the characters and more streamlined plot and a little bit more believable. Yeah, just like more streamlined, believable characters that it's like these girls are such fucking pigs. Like they're pigs. And it's so unrealistic.
Listen, this was 2 years ago. You remember what the girls were like 2 years ago?
This is no sexual
They were homely
revolution.
skanks. No, I mean,
Everything is a put your dick in me joke.
yeah,
It's
just like
so out of
they're
control.
such, yeah, it's
It takes you
literally
out of it. You're like, all right, this is not real life. Like, this is not even close to right. I mean,
you're like, wait,
have you guys
is this what
ever
it's
been to
like
a
when you're
pool
rich?
before? Yeah, I don't know.
Said before, I didn't hate this movie. I did like the plot. I feel like the characters were definitely not set. They weren't rigid in their character traits. They were all over the place. And to me, like the biggest one was the nerd, because like the nerd was like not about it. And then all of a sudden, like now he's the cool kid, head honcho, like that kind of like machismo personality. And I didn't like that at all. But I feel like the acting was like pretty bad. And I feel like this is the case for like a lot of movies. Not a spot on or exact reference, but I just went to Broadway last week and the play itself was okay. But I feel like the actors are the ones that made it good, because if it wasn't for them and if it was different actors doing the same thing, it probably wouldn't have the same feeling and I wouldn't come out walking out like enjoying myself, you know. So I feel like maybe a little bit better acting. The dialogue was absolutely atrocious.
Yeah,
It was really, really
that's my big
bad.
complaint too. The dialogue is, it really takes you out of it. You know, the problem that the movie has, I think its biggest problem, honestly, is just
The guitar song.
the well, no, that's not a great thing, but it's just that it's the low budgetness of it. I know like that doesn't always make like break a movie. Sometimes it makes it, right? Whatever quality stuff they were using to make this, it makes it look like it's fucking 10 years prior to this. Like that's been the big complaint you guys have had the entire time, is you couldn't see most of the movie. You couldn't really see what's going on. I did see it when it was streaming on like some streaming services, like, you know, a couple of years ago, like I mentioned before. And it's a good quality, obviously. It's, you know, a higher definition quality, like a DVD look. You know, I didn't have that issue at all. It does make the experience a lot better. You know, the film had a limited release, and when it came out for VHS, like 2 years later, This was the quality. This was what was uploaded to YouTube. It was the VHS tape. So that's what people were buying and seeing or renting and seeing. Now, in 2014, they released, in October 21st, 2014, they released a DVD and a Blu-ray of the movie. They had, you know, some special features on it too, like interviews with the cast and, you know, crew. This is extremely hard to find. It's been discontinued for a while now. I tried to buy this copy to watch it because I kind of wanted to see the extra features just to give me a little more insight into the movie. Because, like I said before, there's nothing out there. There's really not a lot to see. You know, there's some reviews, but you know, there's some current like YouTube reviews and stuff like that. But other than that, it's really difficult to find information on it. So I wanted to pick this thing up, and I literally could only find one used copy of a Blu-ray on eBay for like $200.
Oh
So
God,
it's
that's crazy.
it's impossible to find this movie. And that's a shame, you know. If the movie pops up on a streaming services, I definitely recommend people watching because I think historically it's a pretty important movie. And I don't think that it's as bad as people say it was. Now, there's some reviews out there and you know, of the time, and there's some like reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, because they always do, you know, current reviews on old things. They're all fucking atrocious. Like no one has anything good to say about it. You go on Amazon and look up the DVD. People love it. They're going on and on about what an unrecognized slasher this is. And I get that. You know, I think it has a lot going for it. I think it has some pretty big tropes that carry through the entire decade. I think that it has some kills that are definitely standout-ish. The effects might not be like perfected yet, but the ideas of some of those things are pretty cool. Like the one that we talked about with the crossbow. I mean, I thought that was pretty clever, you know. And the propeller too, like that was a clever thing that they did. They were able to kind of make a really cool looking scene because like they did the cutaways and stuff like that, so it worked. Yeah, you know, obviously there's a lot of things that were mirrored in Friday the 13th. There's no way to like not see that, you know. Anyone that's seen that movie at least once or twice, or even just knows the story, watches it like, wasn't that from Friday the 13th? But there's also those little details too that a true fan would pick up on. It's a hard watch if you see it on YouTube for free, definitely. But if you can get your hands on a good copy of it, or you could just sort of wait it out for it to come on a streaming service, it's definitely worth a watch. I think most people that like slashers will enjoy the movie.
Jumping back, you know, saying how it's really not great production and the dialogue and all that stuff. I don't think it's so bad that it's unwatchable. Like, I've seen some movies where I've only been able to sit through like 15, 20 minutes because it's like everything is just so bad. It's not that bad. It's kind of bad in the way that it's like campy and cheesy and, you know, kind of like almost bad enough that it's good. Steer someone away from watching this movie. Like I said, I enjoyed it for what it was worth, and I liked the plot and I liked some of the kills in it.
Now, in the end of the movie, we find out that there's two killers, and you know, it's Nancy fighting Mrs. Jensen, and they do this amazing cut where she gets thrown off the balcony, and you're like, "What the fuck?" And you rewind it every time, like I must have missed it, or the copy I watched didn't have it in there because they just do not specify that she was pushed off the balcony too. It makes no fucking sense. It's like the worst cut in the entire movie. It really it, and I did think when I
I
watched,
thought she jumped off.
yeah, like because they show the old thing that happened to her daughter, and then she's just on the ground.
Right. It's flashbacks and whatnot. But I mean, it was a justified ending for her character arc, right? Yeah,
Oh
you exactly
yeah.
come up and it's like, oh, now you go out the same way. Like the first time was an accident, this time's intentional.
Same way as your whore daughter.
I'm just assuming she was a whore.
I'm assuming based on
With
her
this school,
friends.
yeah, like everybody wants to fuck like everything in this house, for furniture included.
She's the one that started him down this path.
They're just hanging out, having a good time, fucking cartons of milk, and then all of a sudden, things go wrong. Yeah, you know. So we get Detective Polanski. He's our second bad guy, and he comes in the Santa suit too, because they got two of them. It's TJ, our nerdy guy, just flips all the time what kind of personality and character he is. But he crossbows the motherfucker, and they walk free, the two of them.
And I actually
I
did
like
like
that
the
ending.
yeah, I
I
like the
do too.
ending.
Yeah.
I like the kill on Polanski. I thought that was great, even though, you know, TJ was a little bit, you know, hesitant. He's shaking and he's doing, you know, but it was cool. I like that. The only thing I didn't like about the ending was Leah's insanity that literally came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But it did make for kind of like a cool and unique ending where it pans out and you see the two of them escaping, and then she's just dancing on the balcony, like, and then just went to credits, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. There's no sequel, there's no remake, there's no nothing. This movie came and left and it disappeared. I think this movie could definitely use a remake. I wouldn't mind seeing something like that. I think
Yeah,
if
if
someone
you
put a little bit of heart and care into it, remade this, I think it'd be pretty good.
Yeah, I think so. Up to production quality, get a better cast, a little bit tweaking on the script. I think it could definitely be a good remake.
All right, guys, thank you very much for listening as always, and have a good fucking night.
Good night, guys.
Good night.
Hey, guys, if you like what you're hearing, please subscribe to our podcast on Spotify and Apple iTunes. Also, you can follow us on social media. We have Twitter, and that's at Sexy Vamp Teeth. We also have Instagram at the Sexy Vampire Teeth Podcast. So if you guys want updates on the show, please follow us on our social media sites and make sure to tune in every Monday night for a new episode. Thanks for listening, guys, and good night.
You've been listening to the Sexy Vampire Teeth Podcast.
So I looked up this IMDb trivia on the movie, and there was not much because there's not really much to say about the movie. And there's a couple of things in there. One of the things I thought were really funny was somebody there's a continuity, like I don't know if it's like a continuity section, whatever it is. It's like something that's just not necessarily trivia, but just things that look weird. They talk about the dummies that thrown out the balcony and how it's an obvious
Those are
fake.
really bad, right?
Right. But there's one fucking oh, okay. So it's under like there's a section that's under like revealing mistakes, and I was reading through it, and this one person says, obviously fake head when woman is decapitated. And I'm like, I fucking hope so.
They couldn't even spring for a real head.
Fucking piece of shit.
Half the people in this world, you can't tell me you can't find one head. I can get you a head.
I'm sure David Hess could get ahead. And if he'd call us back.